the Nazi Party was a cult, pure and simple. That's what it was. I mean, you can't look at any of the Nazi documentaries from that period. You can't look at footage of the Nuremberg rallies or anything and not realize immediately what you're looking at is a very well-organized, very well-heeled cult. I mean, the black uniforms, the swastika would tell you that, if nothing else. So what I see in Nazi Germany is something, is a warning to the rest of us. I mean, I see a cult taking over mm-hmm. a country.
How did it start? How did the Nazi Party begin?
Well, the Nazi Party itself began as a very small political party in the basement of a hotel in Munich called the Four Seasons. In that same hotel, for a number of years, a cultish organization called the Thule Gesellschaft was in operation. And this was a German Teutonic mystical cult. They had gathered a lot of people around them who were financiers, wealthy businessmen, who wanted to save Germany from becoming a communist state. This was at the end of World War I. Germany had lost the war. There was a Russian Revolution going mm-hmm. on. Various parts of Germany were turning communist or socialist. So the businessmen in Munich decided they didn't want to go that route. So they formed a mystical cult which discussed everything from the runes and Eastern mysticism and astrology, but they wanted to reach the rank and file. And for this, they created another organization called the German Workers' Party. And that's how the Nazi Party began.
How did they rope in Hitler?
Well, Hitler was sent to infiltrate it. He had served in World War I. He was awarded the Iron Cross. He was sent as an intelligence agent, basically, to infiltrate the German Workers' Party. He was sent by a lot of wealthy businessmen to do this, to look into the party and see what was going on there, what kind of things were being covered in their meetings. And he quickly became the head of it. He adopted...
So he sent in to investigate it, almost like an undercover agent.
Yeah.
And he, all of a sudden, likes it and becomes in charge of the whole thing.
Absolutely. He had been studying occultism in the years before World War I, when he was an impoverished student living in Vienna. He was attracted to the writings of a man called Lanz von Liebenfels. And Lanz von Liebenfels was a publisher of a magazine called Ostara. And in this magazine, all sorts of occult topics were covered, and Hitler read this voraciously. But he could hardly afford copies of the magazine. He was really penniless. So he visited Lanz von Liebenfels one day in his office and had long conversation with him, at the end of which Liebenfels gave him a bunch of free copies of the magazine and bus fare home. It made quite an impression on both men. Von Liebenfels lived long after the war. He died in the 1960s, and he wrote about his friendship with Hitler at that time and felt that he had made quite an impression on the young man.
At that point, Peter,
yes.
Was anybody aware that Hitler had the potential of being as evil as he ended up being?
One man did, and this, again, was after World War I, and this was a man called Dietrich Eckart. Dietrich Eckart was the man who basically discovered Hitler, tutored him, became his mentor. Eckart was a poet, a philosopher. He was also a drug addict, and he was rabidly anti-Semitic. And he took Hitler under his wing. He helped to teach Hitler how to talk, how to walk, how to deal with people. Hitler was a very shy person mm-hmm. initially, did not deal well with people in social settings, and Eckart changed all of that. He introduced him to the hoi polloi, to the powers that be in society, and essentially groomed Hitler for what was to come. Dietrich Eckart took all the credit for creating Hitler that way. And Eckart was a mystic. He was very mystically involved, very involved with the Thule Gesellschaft, the secret society in Munich. So there was definitely a secret society aspect to Hitler's growth. And this is documented. This is all available in primary source material. You can look this up in my book and in several other books. This is not speculation. This is a fact. Hitler was being groomed by members of a secret society.
So taking the credit for grooming Hitler, was that justified? You think it was really on his shoulders?
Well, I believe so. I mean, one of the things that Eckart was responsible for in the early 1920s was arranging financing for Hitler and for the Nazi Party. And that financing, a lot of it, was coming from the United States.
Yeah, I understand that. That's true.
Yeah.
Major companies.
Henry Ford.
Henry Ford was one of them. Yeah. The Union Bank was one of them.
That's right.
At the time.
And Eckart was the bagman. you know, Eckhart was the man who was picking up the money and bringing it to the Brown House and to the place where Hitler had his headquarters.
Okay, and this fascinates me, and I don't want to really talk about World War II, more of the occult tonight with you, obviously, but it fascinates me because there's a fine line here between what happened and the occult and then what happened. As Hitler is doing his thing, as he's raising money for this Nazi party, this occult cult, and it's beginning to grow. I mean, at what point does he begin to turn on everyone? I mean, doesn't anybody see that?
Well, he turned on the people that he thought would be a threat to him, for sure.
Hitler, so he's insecure, right?
He's insecure, basically, yes. Hitler did not realize in the beginning that he was being groomed for the leadership position. Hitler saw himself more as a John the Baptist type who was paving the way for a leader who would come.
Right.
Eckhart saw him as the leader. And once Hitler realized that he was the German Führer, the Messiah for his people, that's when he turned. And then he became ruthless almost overnight and consolidated his power position that way. But the cult aspect of the Nazi Party flourished. I mean, it continued to grow and really took over, especially in the guise of the SS under Heinrich Himmler, who was probably the dark lord of the Nazi Party's cult. I mean, Himmler was the man who really was obsessed with occultism, and he formed his SS unit basically to be a cult, with a cult headquarters in Germany at a castle in Paderborn where they held occult rituals. Himmler believed very much in reincarnation. He had his own personal astrologer, and this was the man in charge of, you know, the death camps and everything else.
So you can comfortably say that a lot of the people that were influential in the Nazi Party then really began to become obsessed with a cult.
Well, yes. I mean, Hitler himself was obsessed with it. He talked about it all the time in books written about Hitler's conversations. He was obsessed with very deep mystical ideas. It wasn't necessarily the kind of occultism you might read in a tabloid. Hitler was concerned with creating a new man, as he put it. He thought that he was jump-starting evolution by what he was doing in Nazi Germany. Now, this is not a political platform by any means.
No.
This is an occult platform. This is something you might expect from an occult society or a secret society. And this is what Hitler's goals were. Let's create the new man. Let's purify the race, as he put it, and create an absolute new man for a Reich that will last for 1,000 years.